put it this side, Phil, in the shade.
Okay, brilliant, thank you.
That's it. So here we are, Edinburgh, here, bring the good news of the gospel to you. Anybody that's willing to listen, give us an ear, tell you the good news. All the good news that there is in Edinburgh today, or anywhere else in the world for that matter. You got a question, bring it to us. Haven't got the answers to all your philosophical dilemmas, but we believe I have the answer to the most important question. How that a man or woman gets right with God. You're distressed, troubled in any way, like somebody to pray for you, then I would be more than happy to do that. Got a copy of God's Word here, we've got Bibles, we've got New Testaments, got John's Gospel here. You'd like to have a read of God's written Word, then it's offered to you quite freely. No cost or obligation to you. So do please come and talk to us. Like to share the good news with you. Tell you about God's love for you. God so loved the world, that's Edinburgh too, that's you included, you're in Edinburgh, you're in the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only son and gave him up to die on a cross. So God loves you, Christ is dead for your sins, he's the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. And then, of course, he's alive from the dead to justify you, that is, to make you right with God. Got a lot going for you, if, of course, that is, you were to believe. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him, on his Son, that is, shall not perish, but have eternal life. That is in your sin. That which my brothers, my colleagues, my friends have been talking to you about. Salvation, that's what the Bible's about, what God's Word's about, what he's about. Saving men and women from their wretchedness, saving them from their sinfulness, saving them from their lostness and bringing them to a knowledge of God's exquisite, God's amazing love. The love of God that passes, the Bible says, it passes knowledge beyond human comprehension, but yet knowable. That God should love sinners like you and I, rebels, you know, who have that. Disobeyed his law, rejected his love, that God should so love sinners like you and I, that in itself is amazing. You know, some people, a lot of people in fact, they come to me with a question, they say, well, if God is, why is there so much suffering? I don't think that's the right question. I think the right question is, Why is there not more suffering? We're so wicked, we're so evil-hearted, we're so distrusting, mistrusting, unbelieving. It's a wonder there's not more suffering. Why is there not more wars, more famine, more sickness, more disease? That would be the right question, I think. But in spite of all the bad stuff that you find and you see in the world, I'm here today to testify to you, before you, that God is good. In spite of all the earthquakes, the famine, in spite of all the violence and all the trouble in the world, and all the trouble in your life, God is good. Problem is, we are not. We profess to be, you profess to be, perhaps, maybe, you think yourself to be a good person. For God says there's not good, and there's none who does good. No goodness apart from God, no life apart from God, just a miserable earthly existence, that's all we've got. 70 years, maybe 70 years and 10. Then we breathe our last and we go out of this world, and that's not the end of the misery. Some people make the mistake of thinking it is. They think if only they had the courage, if only they could end their lives, their earthly existence, then that would be the end of all their troubles and the end of the misery. No, 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 that's just the beginning of the real misery then. The point is, until man wants to die. After that, the finish, no, the end, no, black hole, you see. Nobody knows, nobody ever came back to tell us what happens after death. Yes, they did. That's not true. That's not true to be said they did. Jesus Christ did. In fact, the Bible tells us he conquered death. Yeah, he returned and he tells us in the Bible, it's appointed unto man wants to die, but after that, then comes the judgment. You close your eyes in death, and you're opened on the other side, and you're faced with the judge of all the earth. So before that day comes to you, you personally, before the end of your earthly existence comes, however it may come to you, and it must come. My hope, my prayer for you is that you get right with God, that you hear the gospel, that you hear the overtures of God's love, that you receive the love of God in Jesus Christ. You say, how do I do that? How do I get to know? How do I get to experience the love of God? Where can I see it? The world over, doesn't matter where you look, there's nothing but the evidence of God's wrath and displeasure. You look up, you look down, you look to the left, to the right, you can't see any evidence of God's love anywhere at all in all His creation. There's only one place where you'll find the love of God. The cross, the death of His Son, Jesus Christ. Herein is the love of God revealed to humankind, to lost sinners, rebels against God, those who have thrashed His law underfoot, those who have rejected His love for many days, for many years, at the cross where Jesus bled and died. There is the evidence of God's love. The evidence, of course, of His wrath and His holy anger too, poured out upon His Son in order that it might not be poured out upon you. In giving His Son up to the death of the cross, that through Him that you might be saved, believing, trusting, confiding, putting your full-blown confidence in the person of God's Son, the lovely Son of God, who loved sinners and gave Himself for them, who died, who suffered and bled and died on that cross, forsaken of His Father, God forsaken, in order that you might not be God forsaken one day, holy, finally, and forever. So before that day comes, when you breathe your last, before that day comes, when you cross your toes up and go out of this world, you go out the same way you come in. Naked you came into the world, and naked you go out. You don't take the iPhone with you. You don't take the laptop with you. You don't take the house with you. You don't take the money with you. At the grave, there's a grim reaper waiting for you, and he tells you, leave it all behind. You take nothing with you. And then, of course, well, you stand before God in judgment. And according to the fruit of your life, you want to come and talk to me. Well, come then. Don't let a woman stop you. What are you, a big sissy or something? Let a woman talk you? Talks you out of hearing the gospel, hearing about God's love, hearing about His grace, His kindness, His pleasure that He would bestow upon you. You are a sinner. You the least deserve the least, the best of His mercies, and yet He offers you loving kindness, mercy, forgiveness. But all these things, of course, all these things are to be found in Jesus, in the Son of God, and only in Jesus, only in the Son of God. No other good enough to pay the price of sin and open heaven's gate and let us in. Nobody else who can let you in. Nobody else who can bring God's love to you. Only Jesus. He's the only one who died for sinners. Nobody else ever did that. His death, you see, is special because the death of God's Son was the death of the Son of God. It was divine blood that He shed on that cross. It's the blood of God, you see, that reconciles sinners to Himself. Muhammad never died for sinners. No Pope of Rome ever did that, or any priest. Watchtower Society, Buddha, Confucius, you name the religious dude. Only Jesus, only the Son of God. He loved sinners and gave Himself for them. And that's the only qualification for the kingdom of God. Are you a sinner? Are you a sinner? If you acknowledge that, you say yes. Well, I've got good news for you. There's a Savior. There's love for you. You might go to hell, but to do that, you have to trample on God's love. You have to trample on the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, to get there. God loves you. Christ died for your sins. The blood has been shed. Atonement has been made. A sacrifice for sin. And all that's required of you is that you should believe. That is that you should trust. Put your confidence in the person of God's Son. That you might confide in the Son of God and that which He has done. No other good enough. Only one mediator, the Bible says, between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Both God and man. The God-man, Jesus Christ, the only mediator. He Himself says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation, says the Bible, in any other name. None other name under heaven. The whole canopy of heaven. Goodbye. You must be saved. Edinburgh. Edinburgh Synod. What name? Jesus. That name which is above every other name. That name before which every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You see, Jesus, He tells us, He didn't come to condemn. He didn't come to destroy. Religion does that for you. Sin does that for you. Atheism does that for you. I didn't come to destroy, Jesus says. I didn't come to judge. I didn't come to condemn. I came to heal and I came to save. Jesus doesn't have to condemn you. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm a sinner just like you. No, not here for that. Jesus doesn't condemn you. He doesn't have to, because we're all of us natural born sinners. We're conceived in sin in our mother's womb. That's where it begins. That's where the misery begins. And then 9 months later, we're born into this world and we come into it crying and weeping, and we go out of it the same way. We're conceived in sin, we're born in sin, we live and die in sin, but for the grace of God, bringing the love and the forgiveness and the kindness and the mercy of God to us. But that's the gospel, that's the good news. You see, the Bible says that we're already condemned before we open our mouths, before we think a thought, before we do a deed. We're already condemned. This is the condemnation God's word says. But Jesus came, take away the condemnation. Deal with the fruit of our lives. This is the condemnation. Every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. How can you bear good fruit from a bad nature? You see, here's the problem. We've all of us got bad natures. That's the way we come into the world. Conceived and born and sin. And out of those natures come nothing but bad fruit. No good fruit at all. And you can protest all your life. You can lift up your voice and you can howl and you can cry and you can say, I'm a good person. I'm good. I do good. God says, no, you don't. He says, there's none good and there's none that does good. None of us. Not you, not I. None of us. And so you see, Jesus says very wisely, he says, by their fruits ye shall know them. The fruit of your life. What is it there? What is it that God's looking for? What is it that God is going to accept you for in that day if there's good fruit? But how can you get good fruit from a bad tree? If the root of the tree is rot, how can you get good fruit from it? How can you get good apples and pears and grapes from it? Impossible. If the tree is bad, if the root is bad, then the fruit will be bad too. And that's your problem. That's your problem, Esma. The root is bad. The root of your nature is bad, it's rotten, it's decadent. It's Adam's nature that you've got. You are conceived and you are born in sin. So the nature has to be changed. The nature has to be changed in order for there to be good fruit. So who can change your nature? You can't. God poses the question. He says, can you change the color of a man's skin? Can you make a black man white? Can you make a white man black? You say, no, that's impossible. It would take a miracle to do that. That's the natural state and condition. You can't change that. No, you can't. So God says, well, how can you, who are accustomed quite naturally to doing that which is evil, bearing bad fruit, how can you possibly bring forth good fruit? God says that too is impossible. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. By the gospel, by my gospel, by the power of God's love, your nature can be changed. God can change your nature. God can make your nature good. But that's what he will require of you in that day. By their fruits ye shall know them. Listen to what comes out of a man or woman's mouth. Look at the fruit of their life. Is it contrary to what God demands? God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God says there's none of us, not one of us, not yourself or myself, who has reached this target, who has kept to his standard. Friends, and so sinners, you don't even keep up to your own standards, never mind God's. I certainly don't, and neither do you. By the fruit ye shall know them, says Jesus. The fruit of your life, the fruit of your lips, the fruit of your thoughts, the fruit of your deeds. bad root comes from a bad nature, comes from a bad root. The nature must be changed. The root, we've got to get down to the root of the matter. And here's the problem with religion. Religion doesn't do it because religion doesn't go to the root of the matter. Religion just deals with the surface. You can put religious clothes on, and you can do religious things, and you can go to religious places, churches and... That's bad fruit. That's bad fruit. That heart of yours needs to be changed, madam. God can change your heart. God can take that bad, bad heart of yours and make it good. Believe the gospel, repent, madam, and believe in Jesus, and He'll give you a new heart. He'll give you a new heart. There's the bad fruit, you see. That's what I'm talking about. Listen to what comes out of their mouth. But you see, here's the trouble. Religion, my friend. Religion, dead religion, doesn't change a dead heart. Doesn't change the bad root. It's the root of the matter. It's the heart of the matter. And only the gospel, only Jesus addresses the heart and changes the heart. But that was promised. That was offered to you here in the gospel this afternoon. Embrace in us a change of the root, a change of the heart, a change of the nature. And when your nature's changed, then there will begin to be good fruit. Good fruit to the glory of God, you see. God made you and for His glory. And He requires of you good fruit. He requires of you that you bear good fruit. That you glorify God, that you fear God. That's what you are put here for. And if you're not doing that, well, that's because your nature's not been changed. You're still in Adam's nature. You're still in the nature that was given to you by your parents, that you inherited from your parents. All the way back to Adam, all the way back to the first man, not just the first man, the head of the entire human race. He's been that now by natural generation, the sin disease is passed on to every man, woman, and child born into this world. We all come into the world with bad natures, sinful natures. But God, by the gospel, by His love, by the power of His love, by the power of His Son, Jesus Christ, and that blood that He shed on the cross, demonstrating His love for sinners, enter sinners here today, that they might be transformed in their hearts, in their innermost being. It's your heart, Edmund, that God wants. Not your religious performance. Not your religious attendance. Not your religious tricks. It's your heart that God wants. And if He can't have your heart, He doesn't want anything else. He doesn't want anything else. It's your heart that He wants. And so your heart, ever a sinner, must be changed in order for you to bear good fruit, because this is the condemnation. Every tree which brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. What? If there's no good fruit, if God comes, and He will come. Somebody, a Christian man, just a few moments ago stopped by and he said to us, Edmund will never be changed unless God comes. Oh, he's coming, but how is He coming? Is He going to come in judgment? Is He going to come in love? Is He going to come in power and change us again? I don't know what the answer to that question is, but He's coming. But how will He find you when He comes? bearing good fruit, when he examines your life, when he examines your heart, when he looks into your heart, what does he see? What does he see there in your heart? Thoughts of blasphemy, sexual immorality, uncleanness, filthiness, such as pervades Edinburgh today. Is that you, Edinburgh? What does God see when he looks? God looks at the heart. It's not your clothes. It's not your Gucci. It's not your Armani. It's not your clerical dress. It's not your Muhammad clothing. It's nothing. Your heart. Out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. Evil thoughts that come into evil actions. That turns into bad fruit. And for that bad fruit, God is going to judge you. Bible says, listen, no good fruit, nothing but bad fruit, hewn down and cast into the fire, into that place the Bible calls hell. That's the end if there's no good fruit. In that day when God judges you, by Jesus Christ and he will, God has given notice to the world, Edinburgh, that he intends to judge the world, every man, woman, and child born into it, that he intends to judge the world in righteousness, in perfect righteousness, by that man whom he has raised from the dead, even Jesus Christ. So in that day, Jesus will judge you. In that day when you stand before the judgment throne of Christ, you will be judged. Your heart, the root, and everything that came out of that nature, every thought, every word, every action, every single one of them, you'll be judged for them all. So how does a man, how does a woman, how do they get their natures changed? How do they get their hearts changed? How can you get the heart purified? How can you get your heart so that you're producing good fruit? Fruit pleasing to God. Fruit pleasing to God. In obedience to God. In obedience to his commandment. How do you get that out of a human being? How do you get that out of a man or woman who comes into the world with Adam's nature? Well, the nature must be changed. And only the gospel, only the good news that I declare to you here today can accomplish that, because it's God's power to salvation. The blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, was shed at the cross. To purify the heart, to cleanse the heart of sinners. What shall wash away my stain? One of our hymn writers cries, and he answers, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Whoever you are, whatever you are, wherever you come from, Afghanistan to Alaska, and anywhere else in between, whatever your color, whatever your creed, whatever your religion, I tell you, in that day when God judges you, if you've not been washed in the blood of the Lamb, if you've not been washed in the blood of Jesus, you're still bearing bad fruit. Your heart's still not clean. Your heart's still not pure. You're undefiled. And everything about you is defiled. Defiled to a man, to a woman. Without the blood, without the precious blood of Jesus Christ, you're still in your sin. You're still unclean. You might be religious. You might be very, very religious. Without the blood of Christ applied to your heart by faith, you're still in your sin. Religion without the cross of Jesus, no blood sacrifice, no forgiveness, no cleansing, no purity, nothing but bad fruit. That's the condemnation. That's the condemnation, says God, that we are all of us under. As we come into this world, as you're born into this world, before you've even thought, before you've even spoken, before you've even done anything, unclean, defiled, bad root, bad nature, out of which comes nothing but bad fruit. And the end of that is cast into the lake of fire. Unless by the grace of God, you've been brought to a knowledge of God's love, His mercy, His kindness in the gospel, that we declare to you here today, that you might come to know, to experience that love, that transforming power of God that transforms the man, transforms the woman from the inside. Not the outside, it's the inside. It's the fountain. It's the root, it's the nature. The nature must be changed. Only God can do that. But that's what He does by my gospel. And that's why I'm eager to preach the gospel to you here in Exeter today. Because nothing else will do it, nothing but the gospel. Power of God unto salvation. For everyone? No. Everyone who's religious? No. Everyone who passes by me? No. For everyone who believes. Only believers. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Only believers. Only believers. God loves you. Christ is dead for you. Christ is alive from the dead to make you right with God. Question is, what are you going to do about it? Just carry on bearing the bad fruit, demonstrating the bad fruit, showing that you've got a bad nature. Just carry on as before until you're beyond redemption, beyond the pale, until you breathe your last and stand before the judge of all the earth. Is that what you're going to do? Or will you believe? Will you lay hold upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith? Will you lay hold upon Him, sir? Will you believe in Jesus? You must. That's the only path on the day of judgment. Faith in Jesus, not your doing, not your religion. Whether it be atheism, Islam, Rome, the Watchtower Society, whatever your religion might be. The religion of evolutionism. Only one path on the day of judgment, when God examines your heart and the fruit of it that is born in this world. If you're not to be cast into that fire, you must have been found to have been believing in this world. There must needs be a day that you can point to and say, that's the day when God came to me in His grace. That's the time when I heard the gospel. I heard the good news of God's salvation. It was revealed to me what a sinner it is that I am. And I believe, I trusted fully in Jesus Christ. I turned from the bad fruit of my life. I turned from my sin. I brought my sinful, rotten nature to Jesus, and He changed me. I became a new creation. He made me altogether new in His love, in His power, in His grace, in His pleasure. unless you can point to such a day, such a time in your every existence, in that day when he judges you, cast into the fire, the lake of fire. Renewal, restoration to God is required. You must be born again. John, the very last prophet of the Old Testament, his name was John. He pointed to Jesus. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He says, "He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Lest you be baptized, you can be baptized in water. You can be sprinkled by a priest. You can be sprinkled by a minister of the gospel. But you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, to put it in Jesus' terms, ye must be born again. Born again in the Spirit of God. Your nature has to be renewed. In order for you to be restored to God, everything must be made new. Religious patches won't do it. You can stick a Roman Catholic patch on yourself. That won't change anything. You can put an Islamic patch on yourself. That won't change anything. You can put any kind of religious patch on yourself, that won't change anything. Ye must be born again. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The fire must fall upon you. The Spirit of God must change you from within. Ye must be born again. What does it mean for a man to be born again? What does that look like? What does that consist of? Well, I'll tell you. To be born again, it's not returning to your mother's womb and being born again physically. Born again of God's Spirit. God coming to your dead soul and putting his life into it, making you live. It's resurrection that you need, regeneration that you need, it's life that you need, not religion. Life I have come, says Jesus, that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. In the love of Jesus, born again, the life of God in your soul, enabling you to live in a way that you never lived before. Just existing, miserable, sinful existence, apart from God. No life in you, dead in your trespasses and sins. There's no life apart from God. Only an earthly, miserable existence, that's all. No life apart from Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he says. I am the resurrection and the life. The one with the authority, the one with the power to put life into your dead soul. By my gospel that I'm preaching here to you today, that you must be baptized in the Holy Ghost. You must be born again, or you'll never experience life. Never, never experience life. You'll exist for a number of years, maybe 70 years, and go out of this world, and your state of death will become everlasting. Never, never, never if you have experienced life. Never. I've got a life, madam. Jesus gave it to me. and you can have life too. You can have the love and the life of God if you will but bend the knee. Bend the knee, madam. Don't argue against God. On your knees, madam, cry out to God that He will give you His Spirit and change your heart. I pity, madam, I pity your blindness. I pity your blindness. May God have mercy upon you. So there has to be renewal, a restoration. It's miraculous to be born again. It's a miracle that only God can perform. Putting His life into your soul and putting His love into your heart and transforming you. It's God coming to a sinner and implanting life and love into their souls, into their innermost being. Out of the immensity of the love of God. It's like a mighty ocean, I tell you. And I tell you, just one drop, one single drop of God's love out of that mighty ocean into your soul, and I tell you, it transforms you completely into a creature of love. And all that hatred for God and all that hatred for your fellow man will be gone. You'll be a child of love. Only the gospel does that. Only the gospel can do that. Set you free. It liberates you to love God, love your neighbor, to love what's right. You know? You love that which is wholesome. You love that which is good. You want to bear good fruit to the glory and the praise of God and Jesus Christ. And then of course, well, you'll be stood here by me. And everybody will think you're as bad as I am, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm not just talking to you from the pages of the Bible and doing that. I'm talking to you from experience. 36 years in this world of bearing the most atrocious fruit imaginable. And God, by the power of His love and His grace, transformed me, changed me. Not something that I did. I tried and tried. Promised and promised. No change there. So, the miracle of God's grace, the miracle of His love, coming and changing and transforming me. And that's why we are meant for it today. So that you might become a partaker of it. That you might taste and see that God is good. Restore, renew you. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit with fire. Have you got the fire of God's love in you? Have you got the fire of His grace burning in your heart? Or is it still the old damp fire of sin, its embers burning away in your soul and eating up the life, eating up everything that's good about you? God has love for you. Ever sinners, God has love for you. God is love. Not here to condemn you, not here. Religion comes to condemn. Religion comes to kill and destroy. Sin comes to kill and destroy. I have come that you might have life, says Jesus. He's got life for you. And all you have to do is take it. It's the gift of God, for God so loved the world. He gave. He's a giving God. And His hand is stretched out to you here today. With Jesus in His hand saying, take my son. Take my son, take him by faith, and I'll restore you, I'll renew you, I'll make you a new creature altogether. I'll transform you. Not by the power of fear. Nobody is ever saved by fear. I'm not here to frighten you. I'm here simply and only to tell you the truth. Nobody is ever saved by fear. A man, a woman can only be saved by faith, by believing, by trusting in somebody who is trustworthy. The Lamb of God, Jesus, who takes away the sin of the world and would take your sin away today. He's the lovely, lovely Son of God. He's the King of glory. He died, he rose again from the dead. He conquered sin and death and hell. He's alive forevermore, and he has the power and the authority to give life and love and lasting joy to you if you would but put your trust, your confidence in him and him alone and in no other, and nothing of yourself. Renew it, made new, altogether new and shiny, full of joy and happiness. That's the gospel. That's the good news. It's the only good news that there is. Somebody comes to you with some other so-called gospel, tell them, away with your religion. No good. No good. You've got religion abounding in your country today. You've got religion coming out of your ears. Is it making Scotland a better place? Is it changing Scotland? Is it restoring Scotland? Is it renewing Scotland? I don't think so. I don't see it. I don't see it. But the gospel, there are men and women in Scotland today, and yes, not all grey-headed, bearded, white guys like me. Young people from all kinds of different backgrounds that are putting their trust in Jesus Christ and finding him to be just exactly who and what the Bible says he is. A wonderful, glorious Savior. And he's changing them. He's transforming them by the power of his love. So you come to Jesus, and that's what you get. Renewal. Restored. Baptized in the Holy Spirit of God. Water can't do that for you. You can be baptized in the Atlantic Ocean. That won't shift one single sin. You have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You must be born again. Unless a man is born again, he cannot speak, he can't even begin to understand the kingdom of God. Never mind enter into it. Born again of the Spirit of God. That's how you enter God's kingdom. That's how God gathers his people. He's gathering himself the people out of the human race. And this is how he accomplishes it. Through the preaching of the gospel. He gathers men and women. He brings them to a knowledge of their sin. He brings them to an awareness of their sinful condition. And he points them, just like I'm doing today. Behold, the Lamb of God, the answer to the sin problem. I haven't got the answer to all your philosophical dilemmas. I don't belong up in the hill there behind me. I'm not a clever man, I'm a very, very simple man from Glasgow, but listen, there's two things that I know. Two things that I know. I know the disease and I know the cure. Sin is the disease and Jesus is the cure. You take him, you take Jesus, and you get the cure. You get repaired, you get renewed, you get mended. You get all the blessings that God has for human beings in this world. You get them all, but you get them through Jesus. You can only get them through Jesus. Oh, some people want the blessing. Oh, I want to be healed. Oh, I want to be forgiven. I want the joy, I want the happiness, I want the peace, but I don't want Jesus. You can't get the blessings without Jesus. You can't get the benefits without the benefactor. You've got to take Jesus. He came to his own, the Bible says, his own people, but his own people did not receive him. But to those who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, to them, only them, he gave the right, the authority, the power to become children of God, children of the kingdom. Reborn of the Spirit of God, brought to repentance, turning away, forsaking all the bad fruit and the cause of it, and believing, trusting, confiding in the lovely, lovely Son of God, who loved sinners and gave himself for them. So like I say, in the sinners, hear me please. You might, I don't know what your eternal destiny is. You might go to hell, but I tell you, you can only get there by trampling on the love of God and the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. Somebody who loves you, somebody, you might go out of the world unsaved, but there's somebody who loves you and is willing to save you, more willing to save you than you are to be saved. That was his complaint. Jesus said, "You are not willing to come to me that you might have life." There's life in Jesus. There's life enough for the entirety of Edinburgh if Edinburgh would come to him. But you're not willing to come to me. That's the problem. Come to him. You may, you might. You have the authority. You have the justification. You have the warrant to believe. Hearing the gospel, hearing the good news, hearing the love of God, hearing the death of God's Son and his resurrection. You have the warrant to believe. You have the justification to believe on the Son of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. He bids you, come on the authority of his word, come unto me all, you that labor and are heavy laden, with all that bad fruit weighed down with it, and the guilt of it, bring it to me, says Jesus. I'll deal with it. I'll take it away. I'll make you a new creature. I'll baptize you in the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus does. Only he can baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Nobody else can do that for you. The vicar, the minister, the priest can't do that for you. Only Jesus. Come to him today, Edinburgh sinners. Whoever you are, whatever you are, however much bad fruit you've borne in your life, however many, however disgusting your sins might be, bring them to Jesus. He'll wash you and make you clean. Save you by his blood. Cancel the power of the addictions, the alcohol, the drugs, the immorality, the lying, whatever it might be. By the power of his blood. You see, it was divine blood that he shed on that cross. That's what makes it powerful. Wonder-working blood. Miracle-working blood. Cancels the power of sin. It brings forgiveness. It brings peace with God. The blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Somebody was complaining to one of my colleagues a short time ago. He said he was disturbing the peace. No. There is no peace. There is no peace without God. There is no peace without the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. By the blood of his cross that we get peace with God. The man is talking about a false peace. There is no peace, saith my God, for the wicked. But it's obtainable if you come to Jesus. You put your trust in him. Peace with God and the peace of God that passes all understanding. Shall it flood in your heart, your soul of mind? Peace with God through Jesus Christ, through faith in His name, believing, confiding in the Son of God. Only believe, says Jesus. Only believe, that's all. But it's a big only. And it must be through faith, trusting in Christ and Christ alone, no other. Nothing of yourself, nothing in your hand you bring, simply through His cross you cling. Take Jesus, take Him home with you, receive Him, believe on His name, and you shall be saved, delivered, rescued from sin, from all the bad fruit, saved, delivered. A hope, I tell you, for this life, and a hope for that day. A hope for that day when you'll stand before the judgment throne of God. There's hope out there. But it's in Jesus. It's in the gospel. It's in the Son of God. There's no hope for any nation. There's no hope for any city but in the gospel, in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's the hope of the nation, my hope. And it can be yours today if you will but trust in Him, believe in Jesus. If you'd like to have a copy of God's Word, it's offered to you quite freely, no cost, no obligation to you. It's the written Word of God. God's own record, His testimony concerning His Son. If you'd like to have one, feel free to come and ask for one. Gladly place it to your hand. Got a question? Like to try and answer it? Like somebody to pray for you? Gladly do that too. Bring your questions. Bring them to us. Come and talk to us. Like a copy of God's Word, you come and ask for one. May God bless you, Edmund. May God bless you and have mercy, mercy upon your precious, precious, never dying soul. Hear the word of the Savior. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye, repent ye. Repent ye and believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand. May God bless you and have mercy upon you. Edmund Sinner.